Cheers, everybody. We are back. Back like we've been here before. I know. Back like we never left. Back on a budget. TJ, Brendan.
Yeah.
Ben. Yeah. Definitely exited the budget part. Hi, I'm Brendan. That's Ben.
Hello, I am Ben.
Look what shirt I'm wearing, Brendan.
You know, I was going to wear that to the airport and then straight to distilleries on Thursday when we landed in Louisville, but I didn't want us all to be matching. So glad you're wearing it now. Look what I'm wearing. Conversation starter, Bourbon Hunter.
Look what I'm wearing.
Did you wash
shirt that?
That
I bought at Costco.
Yeah, I washed it. Of course you are. Hurley. Is there a Hurley shirt at Costco, Ben?
No, this is a Spider.
Hurley? I barely. Okay. So we just got back from Louisville not too long ago, Sunday, right? So 2 days ago.
Yeah.
We spent 3.5 days up there. Well, really like three. We left early on Sunday morning, but spent 3 days up there.
Yeah,
had a good time. Sorry, I was reading Eddie's comments in the background.
It's like, yes.
Had a good time. Enjoyed what we did. Came back with some bottles. Let's do this. We always do pursuits and purchases at the end. Let's talk about the bottles we picked up, because I feel like that's what people care about the most. If they don't, then whatever. They miss out on it. But let's go in order the bottles we got backwards.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good call. Okay. I'll start us off because it was the last one that we got, but we didn't get it. Patrick Noe got it for us. Jason Noe. I always say Patrick, and I got Patrick. I always say Patrick Noe because that's Patrick. Jason Noe. Sorry, Jason. And we got a Patrick to shout out and thank later. But Jason was up in Louisville with Jennifer, so they were traveling. We weren't able to meet up, unfortunately, but he did get the Pumpernickel watch. Excuse me, for quite a while.
Oh, what did you say?
Am I gonna get canceled? What's happening?
No, you are like Mr. Robot the entire time.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so apparently Jason Noe picked up a bottle of Pumpernickel Rye.
It's hard to say. Yeah.
Pretty much,
yeah.
Jason Noe.
Pumpernickel. Pumpernickel Rye. And so shout out to Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
That was solid.
Thanks, guys. I got us off from a good start.
The last bottle we all got collectively, I actually did pick up a bottle for my buddy Matt. It was a bottle of Bowman Brothers, finished in port.
Oh, that's right.
Prior to that, the last bottle that we got collectively was
Four Roses.
Yeah, we stopped by Four Roses on the way out to Bardstown.
Single barrel, barrel strength.
We picked up one of these bad boys. They were on sale there at the distillery, pretty reasonably priced. I think like $85. So you get it like at retail, obviously, hand selected by master distiller Brent Elliott. We all picked up one of these too. This was a good bottle. Haven't tried it yet. Haven't opened it, but we were excited about getting this. Just kind of happened in. We were walking in and a bunch of people were walking out. And
including the guy with a great watch that Ben tried to talk to, and he was kind of a douche to Ben.
Yeah, that guy sucked, man.
We also ate lunch with later.
We ate lunch with him.
He was eating lunch by himself
too.
Like the asshole he was.
Jerk there too.
What an idiot.
So, anyway, that was a fun bottle. Ben, what did we get the day before we all three collectively got? We're all drinking it right now.
Ooh, that is right. We grabbed the third release that has ever happened of Peerless's single barrel double oaked rye. It's their third one they've ever done, and it was just a single barrel, so there's like 150 bottles of it. It's barreled or bottled at 111.5 proof. It's a double oaked rye that is outrageously dark. Do you see how dark this is? This is like molasses in comparison to like a typical bottle.
Look at it compared to the Four Roses, which is a barrel strength 11-year-old bourbon.
The amount of density in this bottle is insane. So we'll talk about that a little bit more today. But Peerless double oak rye. Coming home with us.
And then the first bottle we got, it looks like Jason picked up the Four Roses.
Nice, oh, Jen. Nice. Good job, Jason.
It was a blast. Brendan, our first bottle, we went in reverse order intentionally. Talks about that first bottle.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to top this one, guys. This is That's right. Michter's Barrel Strength Bourbon of Fort Nelson Reserve. It was hand bottled by us. We got to hand bottle it. Beautiful packaging they sent us home with. I mean, it was a fantastic pour that we got to try beforehand. Just Michter's, we're gonna get into it. Michter's was amazing. There's so many people to thank on that. That I was so punch drunk with that experience. It was far beyond what I had expected. Last time we all talked together, it was like, hey, are we
gonna,
it was all downhill after that. We definitely we shot our shot very early on. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Lure load.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, no, that bottle. I mean, you guys haven't opened anything, right? Except for I guess we've all opened the Peerless.
The Peerless I have. I want to find a time like this is gonna be this barrel strength Michter's is gonna be one to share with like you guys, to share with my pops, my friend when he comes up. I'm not sending you guys a sample.
Yeah, it's very unique. Send a sample to me.
I think you should that's gonna be a celebration one. If the football team you're covering picks up a big commitment, if the team you're covering starts out 0-4 one year and then goes 4-0 the next year, like I think you should crack that open. Right.
Yeah, crack it.
Yeah, I'm not opening that up for a Boston College win. That's
stupid. It's the totality of the season, not just the BC.
I'll just open it because it's a Friday night and I'm happy to be alive.
Yeah, we're happy you're alive too.
Thank you.
So, okay, let's talk about, we got a question here from Jason about what time we had to get there for Michter's. I don't know. Who wants to tell this story? Brendan like gets paid to talk for a living. Ben's the funniest that we have on here. So who wants to tell the Michter's story? Let's start with the Michter's story, and then we're going to talk about some takeaways. Then we're going to review this rye and get the heck out of here. So we'll talk more about Louisville as we continue to do content, but I'm trying to keep you guys super, super long tonight. Not that there's anything pressing that Brendan and I have to do tonight, but Ben or Brendan, who wants to talk about Michter's?
I guess I'll start. Did you wait until I started talking to start talking?
I have no problem with giving the rundown, you know.
Go for it.
You'll down run, right?
Little down run.
Okay. So last week, if you're paying attention, I specifically said that my one thing that I want to do is hit up the Michter's, pour your own bottle experience. As much as I want to do the tour, that's, you know, I really wanted to prioritize the pour your own bottle, and they were selling that as like a separate side add on. I knew. And so I'm like, okay, worst case, we don't get a tour. Cause at that point we didn't have one. We'll just show up and, you know, try to get there. We try to get to the pour your own bottle. So we had a listener reach out who heard that, Patrick.
I mean, the biggest shout out. I think we probably should send Patrick a sample.
He's going to get a care package. Patrick will get a package specifically from TJ.
A care Patrick.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Anyway, he said, hey, let me reach out and I'll touch base if something works out. So we get the go ahead from Patrick and was like, hey, you guys are taken care of. Here's your appointment time. It's at 12 o'clock on Thursday. Like, that's great. We fly in at 10. We'll go right there. Hit the ground in Louisville. We head straight over there. And I said, all right, we're here to do a tour. And at that point, I was thinking, we have a tour that's booked. Thanks, Patrick. That's great. Let's ask about the bottle because that's
something. Oh, I forgot about this aspect.
And so we said, hey, are there any available? He goes, no, we've already sold out of everything today. Everything's all booked. But come back tomorrow early in the morning. I said, okay, that's fine. Like, I'll show up at 9 a.m. Like I said, that's the only reason I'm there. So they tell us that we have the level tour one booked, but we have a level two tasting. And I was like, oh, that means we get into the Michter's 10 profiles from just the base. I'm like, great. Patrick, you're a boss. Way to go. So we do the tour. And as we're doing the tour, that same area is where you do the pour your own bottle. And I'm like, oh man, I'm looking over there at it. And some couple walks in and they do their own little pour your own bottle. I'm like looking at it to the side eye. I'm like, man, I think it's freaking sweet. I really want to do that. We're come back tomorrow. So we go back to the tasting room and we taste the entire baseline of Michter's, the two 10 years, and they let us sample the Michter's 10 bourbon.
which is part of the pour your own bottle right now. It's either barrel strength rye or barrel strength bourbon. I said, okay, sweet. She goes, we also have another surprise for you. And I said, hello. They walk us out to the barrel your own or pour your own bottle section. And there's three bottles all set up, ready to rip. And I'm like, oh, shoot. We're in. We're freaking in. This is the dream. They told us that I was all booked up, but they had spots reserved for us. Great. I'm more than excited to get it in and out here. And so we filmed the entire thing. We barrel it. Sorry, we bottle it. We sign our names on it. What an amazing experience. And they said, all right, why don't you guys head up to the bar and hang out for a bit? I said, okay, this is a great day. We're headed up to the barbershop.
God,
we're
King of the castle
right now.
I forgot all about that. I forgot about the bar at the end. Jeez, what a day. Geez. What like a first hour in Louisville.
So we head up there and we're hanging out, relaxing. We order, you know, a couple drinks. And, you know, from what I could tell, most of the bars in the distilleries are, there's no break on any of the whiskey pricing wise. And so we order a couple of cocktails that are specifically made for the Michter's bar, which it was really elegant. Great experience up there. Mm-hmm. So we go to settle up our tab at the bar and they're like, get out of here. And I said, what? This sounds great. So we tip our waitress and bartender pretty well, go down the elevator, walk to the front door. And we're like, hey, we're here to settle up for the tour and the bottles. They say, get out of here. And I was like, holy crap, Patrick. Where you at, bud? Where you at? Shout out, Patrick. What a freaking hookup. The experience at Michter's, like I said, we had just landed in Louisville. Major hookup. Like I said, we're going to send Patrick some care packages. But we had an amazing experience. Look, if you're watching the video right now, can you see the joy in Brendan's eyes as he is pouring his own bottle of Michter's?
This is what most, this is what most husbands look like when their wife walks down the aisle. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, like the glimmer in their eye, like this is amazing. Like
we're going to have to find my wedding photo and compare it to this. Yeah.
Sorry, Ash.
it looks like in Pulp Fiction when they open up the suitcase and there's this heavenly glow. That's what's happening.
So anyway, we had an outrageously amazing time at Michter's. Thank you, Patrick. I want to specifically shout out our tour guide, Chelsea. She was incredible. If you're ever there, be sure to tour with her. Tip her well because she's an awesome tour guide. But other than that, Michter's was the best experience. I mean, how do you really beat that? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. But yeah, great time.
The rest of Louisville was really, really good, but Ben is right. Like it was really all downhill from there. And we saw a fantastic game on Friday night that, you know, was a ton of fun. We drank Will at 9 Year Purple Top. We got to go to a really, really cool bar and do some other stuff. Nothing like that. Michter's experience totally ruined us for the rest of the trip because we had to I'm a big on you guys gave me a hard time for this all weekend. Like I have to qualify everything. Every time we would go have a good experience, we would say like, oh, this is pretty good. Now that Michter's thing though, that was on another level, but like, hey, this experience that we had was really good too. Nothing the rest of the weekend been spot on compared to how good that Michter's weekend was. Like just unreal, unreal hookup, unreal fun.
Also how about the fact that the Michter's barrel strength bourbon isn't even distributed outside of Kentucky. And so right, if you would have got there and had that day, they could have been bottling the barrel strength rye, right, which I have, but I don't have the bourbon, but now I do. Cause it's mine. Has my name on it.
Yeah.
Finders keepers.
And to me, the coolest thing, and Kara said this when I got home, was I've always been like the biggest Michter's stan. I've got a ton of the toasted stuff. I've got a ton of the barrel strength stuff. I didn't have this barrel strength product. But it was cool that it was Michter's, the distillery that we all really, really love, the distillery that we all really, really wanted to get to. I would have loved if we would have had the same exact experience at Four Roses, that would have been amazing. And I like Four Roses a lot. But the fact that it was Michter's and I absolutely love Michter's to death made it so much cooler. Brendan, you have a big takeaway from Michter's? I know we've talked a lot about it, but
walking in, the smell of it, first off, was so incredible. So like the floors are from, I think, wood from the 1700s. So it's got that musky smell, but then just the mash, like that sweet corn smell. It was like pops or pop cereal, like just amplified to like 25. Like it was just heavenly smell right away. Yeah, our tour guide Chelsea was amazing. Nick was really hospitable. He was the GM of the bar, and he was really friendly and great. Again, a huge. I can't even like. It was something that before the trip started. We didn't know if we were going to be able to do it. I was so overwhelmed, like by it all. Like, thank you, Patrick, for helping hook this up.
Brendan blacked out for half the.
He did.
I was literally like, it was all spinning. We'd gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, my flight was at 5, so I'd gotten up at 3. I was tired. I was dizzy from like traveling and getting there and making sure we got there in time, and then. We met this nice gentleman who liked my Bourbon Hunter shirt because he had a Bourbon Hunter license plate. And we talked, Ken, for about 40 minutes or so, too. So I was just, like, overstimulated and overwhelmed. And then we started the tour. The tour was amazing. Like, that in itself was a ton of fun. The tasting was great. I love Michter's products. And, like, it was so cool to be able to taste them all back to back to back. And then the 10 years, like, added to it. It was awesome. And then they were like, hey, barrel strength. Bottle for you guys to take home. It was amazing. It was such a cool experience. Michter's is first class all the way. Even if we like didn't get hooked up with it, like I just overwhelmed. I mean, it was amazing.
Great. Yeah, I was excited to pay for it. You know, I was like, this is great. We got in. I'll have to come back tomorrow, you know? So incredible.
Yeah. So good. That was how we wanted to start. Like, that's what we wanted the most out of the trip was that experience. And then some, and we got it right away and we weren't anticipating getting it. So everything... It set such a great tone for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
I think we would have been thrilled with just a regular Michter's tour where we tried, 100%. Where we just got to do a tour of Michter's and we tried the rye, the bourbon, and the sour mash, called it a day. Like, we'd have been thrilled with that. That'd have been a great, or on the American whiskey, whatever. That we'd have been happy with that, right? Because we couldn't find a tour anywhere. But for them to go so much further above and beyond was really, really pretty neat. Okay, so let's move on from Michter's. They were amazing. We'll put out some video and some content of our experience there. We took more pictures there than really anywhere else and did a lot there. But let's go with Ben.
Yes.
What's your outside of Michter's, not allowed to use them anymore. What was your biggest takeaway? What you know, somebody is here asking, did you go to the game? Now do you get all the backups and do you Can you understand all the puns we make now that you've been to a game? But was it the game? Was it another distillery? Like what ranks second to you, or
second to Michter's? Takeaway
from those. Ooh. It doesn't have to be a distillery. It could be a restaurant. It could be whatever you go.
Yeah. Off so second best experience other than Michter's. Okay. So I think Frankfurt Avenue, Beer, is it Frankfurt Avenue Beer?
Frankfurt Avenue Beer Depot, yeah.
Beer Depot. What a great bar that was. Great selection. Pricing wasn't outrageously bad. I thought the pricing was pretty good.
Oh, Frankfurt Avenue Liquors.
Liquors. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the barbecue place. I was like, the barbecue place really jumped up to the front of the...
Frankfurt Avenue Liquors and Wine is its Liquors. Official title. It's in the Louisville neighborhood. I think Clifton, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that place was really good. Great, like I said, great, right scene. Bartenders was pretty nice. But like I said, pricing was pretty competitive, so I thought that was a good spot.
Brendan, biggest takeaway outside of Michter's?
Oh, so that was the bar that Ben mentioned was going to be right up there for me. That was one of my favorite places we visited. I love like a good home base, like on a vacation, like a place where you like on a trip where you know you go back to a couple times, whether it's a restaurant, bar, something like that. And that was kind of that for us. So that was really good. To me, I guess the big takeaway, Bardstown? Really Bardstown. Freaking cool. That was probably
the biggest... distillery, not just the town overall.
The town's cool.
The distillery is awesome.
Yeah, and I wasn't expecting that from the Bardstown Distillery. So the biggest surprise was everything that happened at Michter's, but this was second in terms of like we didn't think we were going to get that experience at Bardstown just in terms of being able to enjoy the lunch there, getting to try their stuff.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome. They're doing it really, really, really nicely for a newer place. Like
they're doing it really with money, cool. I'll tell you that much.
First class.
Mm-hmm.
Great old fashioned, like phenomenal old fashioned, really, really good. Some of the Bardstown juice that we tried, like Brendan was debating on buying a $200 bottle or not. And, you know,
and Ben didn't think it was crazy. We'll get into like our favorite stuff we tried, but Ben didn't like Ben, Mr. Like budget was like,
the hot brown. Was the best thing I had on the trip. It wasn't.
I love that. I specifically want to hear Jason's take on the Brown, the hotel that you guys went and had dinner at, what y'all got food wise there. Cause that's the only place that our bartender said was like, our hot brown's best if you're not at the Brown. That's the way that, whatever.
We didn't get the shrimp and grits. No, we all got the hot brown.
Yeah. And it was amazing. You guys were laughing at me when I mentioned Hot Brown last week, so you had no idea what it was. It's a weird name, but man.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Where can we find one of those around here, Ben?
At my house.
I have to make it.
It is a local delicacy.
Okay, sure. I've got a little. Yeah, Jason says the Hot Brown at the Brown Hotel was freaking elite.
That's the OG. Yeah.
Does the Hollywood Brown Derby, and do they have one?
Are you trying to be funny? We can't tell.
That's at Disney. No.
No, I'm saying.
Sorry. I thought you were trying to make a joke.
I would think that they serve one. Can you look that up?
I'm a jerk.
Okay. Give me a second.
I've got a takeaway. I'm going to go the other direction. I'll give a positive one here in a minute, but I've got kind of a negative takeaway.
Hold on. We're talking about your second favorite thing that we did.
Takeaway. I thought it was just your biggest takeaway.
Oh, sorry. I have tips. I have three tips.
Oh, just tips.
I was going to say.
Because you specifically said, what is your second thing after pictures?
Yeah, I mean, you guys took the best two. So.
Yeah, you can copy us if you want.
How about Nulu? Nulu was great.
Oh, Nulu was a lot of fun.
Nulu was fun.
Really nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that was my second biggest takeaway. So, you know, the game was fun. I mean, the game. You know, I'm a sports guy. The game was a lot of fun. It was cool. We went to a place across the street from the stadium called The Alley, and they serve like $3 beers. We hung out with Pop Deloach. We hung out with Ingram Smith.
Yes.
Ocast, if you guys watched that.
The name you dropped there, should pick it up.
Yeah, that was really, really
It was great. I got the first round of beers.
For that joke.
I got the first round of beers, and I specifically was like, oh, quick, get out of here before they forget that they
were ringing me. $3 beers across from the stadium. It's kind of for you Tampa folks, it's kind of like a mix between Armature Works and what's that place down there by the shipyard?
It's very much Sparkman. Very much Sparkman
Works. Kind of like that. Very cool. $3 beers right before the game. It was fantastic. That was really cool. The game was cool. I mean, you know, Florida State won in dramatic fashion. That was really, really neat. Okay. So what do you guys got? What let's keep it moving. What else you guys have?
Do we want to do tips? Do we want to do our favorite bourbons? Direct us. Where do you want us to go, TJ?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's do tips. Everybody gets one tip. Ben thinks he's got three tips. What in the world? Okay, Ben, you can start. You give one. I'll give one. Brendan gives one.
I'm going to give you all three.
That's two.
I'll give you all three.
Lord. You're going
to
take...
Don't tell him what to do.
Let's give him tips on his tips. Let's do it that way.
Oh, yeah. Okay, give us your first one. We'll rate it.
Okay, here are the three, because they're kind of alliterations. One, get out of town. Number two, get in early. And three, go back in time. Let me explain. One, Louisville in general, outside of like Michter's and Old Forester and Peerless, is a very touristy area. And so you've got to expand a little bit to try to find a little more of just like local culture. Like once you're near basically the Yum Center, which we drove past about 1,000 times, you're just in like super touristy zones. So do your Old Forester, Michter's, and Peerless, and then just get out of Louisville in general. You can hit Nulu up if you'd like, or Rabbit Hole.
Go across the bridge.
Angels Envy's also there. Go across the bridge. Just got to get far away from the Yum Center.
Tip number two, don't let Brendan drive.
Jeez, what a nightmare. Yes. Number two, get in early. The distilleries are going to put out any special bottles they have early in the morning, it seems like. The Four Roses hit early. Jason told us that Heaven Hill had Elijah Craig 18 early in the day. Like we were on our way there like at 9 a.m. and we got there at 10 and they were sold out. So it sounded like most of the bottles that are going to be hitting that day get hit. Buffalo Trace hits early in the day as far as like their releases. They may restock. They restocked once while we were there, or not at the distillery, but they restocked halfway through the day. And then number three, go back in time. Louisville is one of the only areas that you can drink your way into the past, because they have so much legacy and save bottles from, you know, from history. Bardstown has a whiskey library, and then even the Frankfort Avenue, you know, liquor store that or liquor bar that we went to, they all had stuff that was from like the 90s
or the 80s, early 2000s, 70s, 80s. Crazy.
And it wasn't outrageously expensive pours. Reasonable. And so take that opportunity to drink your way into the past. If you've gotten into the whiskey scene in the last 5 years, whiskey 15, 20 years ago is vastly different than it is today. And so Louisville is your best place to do that. So drink into the past, get in early, and get out of town.
Some people drink to forget the past, but Ben was drinking to
discover
back the past. Into the past. Yeah, it's like his DeLorean.
Mm-hmm. Those are three tips.
Yeah, I think Ben's right. To kind of expound on that, I did not think the food in like downtown Louisville was very good. I'll just say that. Like,
and it was expensive.
It was very expensive. The pours were expensive there. Yep. Again, you're not saving a lot of money on pours most places, but the Frankfort Avenue, that it wasn't outrageous there, I didn't think. Food downtown wasn't great. We went to a couple of places. I don't want to disparage restaurants here on the place because it could just have been an off night. But everywhere we went downtown, I just didn't think the food was very good. I really wish we would have passed on most of them. Food outside of town was really good. We went to a barbecue place that our Airbnb host had recommended, also in that Frankfort Avenue area. It was really, really, really
better
good.
For half the price.
Yeah, fantastic barbecue food.
Oh, yeah.
We all got the ribs there. So they were warm,
which was nice for ribs compared to the previous night. Yeah, that was good.
Nice change. We went to, obviously, we ate at Bardstown. That was really, really good stuff. We got pizza out in Nulu. That was great. We got ice cream out in Nulu. So I think Ben's right. You know, get out of town. Food's better. More, you know, a little bit more reasonable prices on both food and drink. Walking around downtown Louisville. In fact, I was excited to get back to downtown Louisville. I'm really the one that kind of pushed for it. And I'm glad we went to Nulu on Saturday because I thought that was a really cool experience. But I'm the one that pushed for going back downtown because I thought, oh, Florida State's in town. There'll be a bunch of fans out there. We had just come from Bourbon Street, you know, 2 weeks before, and, you know, a bunch of FSU fans there. And that was kind of a cool experience to see a bunch of fans out there. There was nobody out. There was nobody downtown on Thursday night, even
Tip
though
four. It was the night before game.
Yeah, it was the downtown was disappointing. Now, we just went back to the room and drank, so that was fine. But, you know, I would have avoided that if we had to do over again. But yeah, I thought Ben was pretty spot on. Brendan, you got any tips for people going to Louisville?
You guys covered it pretty well. I mean, to piggyback off of what Ben said, I think combining them all, like, you can go to downtown, but don't go there as your base, as the place you want to spend all day. Now go there down in the morning, hit up all the distilleries, like just quickly go in the shops, see what they got, pick maybe one or two that you want to see. Like, I wish we had seen Old Forester, and then get to other places to explore, whether it's like the actual distillery tours outside of Louisville, like in Bardstown, some of the other areas that we weren't able to get to see, Frankfort, or, you know, whatever. We explored Nulu. There's other cool neighborhoods, the Germantown area as well, to kind of explore in Louisville. Get up early, go do your thing. That's pretty much what I got. Downtown kind of was a bust for the most part.
Enjoyed the other distilleries we went to, right? Nothing really compared to Michter's, and so we, you know, have to qualify everything with that. We went to Peerless quickly, picked up the bottle that Ben's talking about. Didn't get to do much there, but I also picked up some coffee. We drank that coffee today. It was really good.
We were supposed to do a tour at Peerless, but that didn't really happen because of the Michter's tour.
Pushed out of the way.
Yeah, Michter's, once Michter's, you know, said we're copping all your drinks, which, again, we didn't know that till afterward. But once we started drinking at Michter's, it was we stayed there for quite a while. So we missed our tour. But that's fine. We'll go over the next time we go. Peerless, if you'd like to give us the Michter's treatment, we'd more than happy.
I mean, we took – how many bottles of this did we buy? Five, six?
Five.
Yeah, they're fine.
They got it. And I bought some coffee too, so God bless them. Enjoyed Peerless, enjoyed Four Roses. We kind of just stopped in there quickly. I liked going to Heaven Hill. I liked going to Bardstown. Willett was a very underrated distillery.
Willett was the prettiest grounds we'd been on, I thought.
Beautiful. Yeah. So. Very nice. Rolling hills, huge rick houses that were really pretty. They had an upstairs bar. They had a nice little patio area that we sat outside, and Brendan and I split a pour of the 9-year Purple Top. Ben had a coffee or a shot of espresso.
Espresso.
Yeah.
It was early.
Their 4-year rye is really what?
Jeez, Brendan. Anyway, Brendan. Yeah.
Year rye. Can you hear me now? My back.
Yeah. 4-year rye. It wasn't readily, really a 4-year. It was a 3-year rye.
No. Well, the 4-year rye is readily available. The 3-year rye is in a little baby bottle. Sample.
Yeah,
which was cool, and I'm glad I got to try it. I drank it after the game when I was doing some note taking, and drank it all, and didn't get to share it with you guys. Apologies.
What a great game that was!
It was fun.
Solid game.
Yeah, but Willett was great.
Yeah, and then like I said, we have spent the least amount of time on the game, but yeah, game was really fun. I had a great time. We went to Nulu on Saturday, watched some college football, drank some beer. We took it kind of easy on Saturday. I don't think we had any bourbon on Saturday, maybe a little bit that morning. Brendan had while he was working. Shout out to Sinone for pounding the bourbon. All of our bottles.
Wait, made it safely. I wasn't drinking while working. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were. I'm pretty sure you woke up and started drinking the bourbon. So, attaboy. Really a great time though. Like I had a good time hanging out with you guys. I had a good time laughing. We joked a lot. We had a cool Airbnb. Fun time in the city. Good stuff.
Real quick, can I give you guys my three favorite bourbons or just whiskeys in general that we tried there? I'll go fast. Sure. All right. Number three for me is Maker's Mark 1996. It was at the Frankfort Avenue Liquors and Wine that Ben mentioned because they had all these really cool old bourbons. And this was a 1996 edition of Maker's Mark that was Kentucky Wildcat themed. I think it was the year the Kentucky Wildcats won the NCAA tournament. I think it was what Ben, like $8 for a pour?
It was outrageously cheap for it being from 1996.
It was so. I think I talked about this before on the Wild Turkey 101 that Elliot gave me from like about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. The Maker's Mark 96, another great example of they don't make them like they used to. Like they're talking about like an entry level bottle of bourbon that was probably back then, probably like $15, and it drinks like an $80 bottle. It drink as good as their stave finish stuff. Actually, we tried
there was a
right after.
At Makers there, and we tried them back to back, and
the 96 was marketed
clear cut winner. It was weird.
It's crazy.
It was so weird.
So just for the experience to be like, oh, we tried this really unique thing that you'll never be able to find because again, 1996, awesome. Number two, the Michter's Barrel Strength, like that's an elite pour. We'll get into that at some point eventually, I'm sure. That was exquisite. The number one, partially just because it was so sneaky and surprising, but also because it was phenomenal, and it was the one I considered buying at $200. I said no, I don't want to risk like not getting home safely, or if it shows up at ABC, maybe I'll get some points there. But it was at Bardstown, and it was there. I'm not going to pronounce it right. Forkulin. Got to be careful saying that one. It's an Irish whiskey blend with it's got three different types of Kentucky or Tennessee bourbon that are 12 to 14 years old, and then a 21 year old Irish whiskey in there as well.
It was good.
Ben, I know you hate the word smooth for whiskey, but I think this actually like it was smooth in a great way. Like it was so easy to drink, yet so rich and delicious. It was one of the best whiskeys I've ever had.
Well, there goes Brendan's internet.
Well said, Brendan. Thanks.
I do think we heard most of what you had there. Okay, I'll give my top three drinks. They're not all whiskeys, but I'll give my top three. One, no order. One, we got to try. Ben ordered it, and I copied him. The Old Forester 117 series. We got to try that at Frankfort Avenue.
Yeah.
We also there got to try a Good Times finished in what? Strawberry
brandy. Strawberry brandy.
Barrels?
Cigar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really, really good. This third one, we had some beer in Nulu that I thought was really, really good. This third, and I won it office trivia. And this one was great. This is a drink. At
the old banana hammock.
The banana hammock. I don't think that's the name. I think it was
banana stand. That's
banana
right.
In the tailpipe. Shout out Hidden Springs. That is actually a drink. How beautiful is that? It was amazing. It was so banana-y. Had some good cinnamon. It was really, really good. So I wish I would have. There was another drink they recommended. I won't talk about it. There was another drink they recommended that I wasn't as in love with. I drank two of them, but I wasn't as. I wish I had ordered another one of these because this was phenomenal. And it's beautiful and it looks somewhat girly. Nothing wrong with girls, but I would have drank this 15 times over 15 times. So anyway, Ben, you have some favorite drinks that you liked? We might have stolen some of yours because we drank.
That cocktail was definitely on my list. Bardstown, I thought, had the greatest performance as far as old distillery
fashioned. The old fashioned
tastings wise.
Yeah,
old fashioned was there. We tried their Founders collab, which is a breakfast stout. It's a whiskey aged in Founders breakfast stout barrels. That was really, really good, as well as the one that Brendan had spoken about earlier. Man, they had great stuff in general. I don't know. I feel like those are all top notch pours, but
good. Any other, and don't feel pressure to do this, but any other takeaways? You guys want to move to reviewing this Peerless?
One other thing. I love the mobility of minis, and usually that means you get crap stuff, but they were selling this. How about Small Batch Select in a mini bottle at the distillery, or at least in Louisville in general? I thought that was great. Like, it's so hard to find, like, not like screwball whiskey or, you know, 99-cent crap. I thought it was really nice. You just have like, oh, this is like a $70 bottle that you can just take with you into a theme park or a movie theater or... You know, I mean, there's so many options.
It was only like $7 for that little bad boy, too.
Jason flexed on us a little bit. King of the Kentucky, 2022. Russell's Reserve 13, batch 2.
Barrel Dovetail 16-year.
His top what three.
What Jason, about Jen? If you're listening, watching, did yours experience differ a little bit from Jason's there?
Jen, I really, if you're listening, is Jennifer listening?
I feel like we need to have them on, and I want to ask them if the festival was worth it, and like, should we go next year? That's the real question.
Given that Jen missed the football game, I don't know.
Worth it is, but Brendan's going to have to work during the festival next year. It's going to be in September. That's going to be tough.
That's fine. Like, I'll still go. Like,
I can't go without Brendan. He's my security blanket. Brendan, any takeaways before we get on to reviewing this?
Nope. Let's get on to the review. It was a great trip. I had a really fun time. Football game was obviously fun, but all the bourbon stuff and exploring Louisville was a blast too. So it was awesome.
Okay. We're reviewing again. If you're watching this, if you haven't yet, hit the subscribe button. We certainly do appreciate that. Ben, can you come over real quick? I'm almost out.
I have already finished mine, and then I finished two other pours of Tommy's newest Elijah Craig barrel strength pick.
How are you going to review it if you've already
finished? I'm going to pour more. I'm just saying it's just going to be a really homey pour. Think about this is going to be like a 10. This is going to be a 10 out of 10.
A 10! A 10!
Let's go.
Darnation.
Let's go through it quickly. The nose is so dense.
Quickly?
But it's so syrup and it's so sweet. There's not a ton of rye spice there, but there is a little. A
little bit.
But the nose.
Jason, chime in here. You guys have this bottle as well. You might as well open it and review.
Does he have this one? I thought he got the
four. Yeah, they chimed in and said, hey, we got the same bottle. So I thought open that thing up and see what you think.
Four roses there.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Damn it, Ben.
Send it back.
Ben says, pretty close to Jason. Luca Marciano was amazing.
Soccer player.
Sounds Italian. Okay.
Thoughts on the nose. Ben.
Yeah. So this is all super dark barrel notes. I get dark chocolate. How about charred marshmallow? Not toasted marshmallow. You leave this marshmallow in the fire for like a minute and a half. It's all black, super charred. That's what I get. How about maybe a burnt orange peel? A little bit of there. Dark raisins. Yeah.
I get raisins too.
It's so deep, man. It's so, so, so dark. Again, add a little bit of water to this if you have it. A little splashy splash. It
doesn't have water. Well, I mean, I know some people don't, but like, if you've got bourbon, they probably got water.
We did do a little splash. I did like four drops. I think Ben did as well. And because it smells, no man, it's just like a little baby drops to let it open it up. It makes a big difference. Like it does smell a little hot initially, like it's overpowering, but it's still good. You still get it, but just those like little bit of water to release the oil makes a big difference. In addition to what Ben, so Ben's got like the char notes. Have you guys ever had like a candied bacon before, or like bacon with like something sweet, like that kind of contrast of that smoky, almost kind of salty type of nature with then sweet? Like I'm getting honey, I'm getting like a jelly, strawberry jelly type of vibe. That rye spice is to me coming off as a little bit of mintiness as well, but like cinnamon raisin bread with like that vanilla icing. Like, man, this is just, it's so complex. It's a phenomenal, amazing nose, so unique. Yeah, really, really, really good.
There's so much to dive into.
It's going to keep opening up too, right?
It's going to get better and better.
Yeah, Ben's right. A lot to dive into for sure. For sure. Yep.
We usually break this up, but because we're trying to go a little bit quicker on this tonight, 175 for me, Brendan.
Oh, wow. Guys, 175 is the baseline. I am going to say 2. It is everything you want in a nose. It's elite. It's going to keep changing. This was an expensive bottle. I don't know if I can quite justify it. Yeah. It was $150.
We don't consider price.
But it is.
Until the end. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, too. This is elite to me. It's you know where your money goes, just by putting your nose in there.
I would tend to agree with Brendan here. This is like, I'm gonna go 175. But if you want to spend about an hour,
I agree with Brendan, but just not his actual score.
Yeah, if you want to spend an hour nosing this thing, you're just gonna find the freaking world, you know.
That's my favorite part. Like drinking it too, but I love nosing like a good whiskey. Like I find so much joy in finding all these different notes, and it's such an enjoyable, relaxing, almost like meditative experience just to kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I love it.
Woosa.
The taste is phenomenal too. I'll let Ben start on the taste.
Oh geez. What? Let me at least taste it first.
You've been drinking it all night.
I'm drinking like three other things too.
Yeah. Okay. So I get a little bit of like a leather tobacco note up front on the initial hit. It gets sweeter and more fruity as it kind of sits with you, or at least as like on the back of the palate. Again, I think that's mostly because the bottle, or at least the juice, is like 3/4 straight. It's black. I mean, it's so dark. And so those tobacco notes come through on the front end for me. But you do get the lighter, kind of fruitier notes like on the sides of the mouth. And so, like I said, I think the burnt orange peel, the burnt marshmallow comes through as well. So it's pretty consistent, at least from nose to palate for me. It drinks a little toasty on the initial hit, you know. And I say toasty, I mean like it's gonna burn a little bit. But you'll get used to it, especially this being the fourth drink. So there you go.
It smacks you around a little bit for sure. And even just it drinks toasty. It's got kind of like a burn, charry type of vibe to it as well, which some people might find like a bit of a turnoff. Like just know when you're going into this, this is a beastly like whiskey. And it's only, we didn't talk about the proof on it. It's 111.5, which is usually kind of in my wheelhouse. But this drinks like it's like 120, 125. Like this is...
Yeah, it drinks a little spicy.
This is a beast. It does, but it's not unpleasant because there is that sweetness to kind of counteract it throughout. It's almost like a dark chocolate, like you know, like a high, what's it, cocoa percentage, whatever, like the ones that are like 90% or so. Like it's got that kind of to it, to where you know it's got some sweetness but also some bitter as well. So Ben mentioned tobacco. To me, I got herbaliness as well, a very like earthy, almost like a really high quality black tea. It's kind of how I interpreted that. The sweetness, like strawberry jam. I'm getting a lot of berries and fruit both on the nose and then the palate, but like a very rich, like not jelly. Jelly's for like 5-year-olds. This is jam. That's what adults eat. Strawberry jam.
Yeah, sure. I'll echo a lot of what you guys said there.
Strawberry jam?
It is hefty. It is dense. The color is very much felt on the palate. There's no part of this flavor though that's not enjoyable to me. I think it's very complimentary. And I'll start out with the rating. 3.5 I was hard on the nose. 3.5.
That's what she said. I will go with a 3. It's very good. It's a little rough around the edges in some ways, but it's still, we're talking about a high-end, high-quality one.
Yeah, I think I've gone 3.25 here. I love how bold it is. I think this is bolded and underlined and italicized. That's how bold it is. And so I think this is, there's a lot of character. So much character. 3.25.
Tommy says it does give a lot of black tea in the barrels. Hey, Tommy, I think we're coming to see you tomorrow.
We'll be there.
Off, just shoot me a text so I don't drive all the way down there.
Is Tommy saying yeah, that
we'll
I have?
We'll see you tomorrow, Tommy.
An exquisite palette to pull out the black tea on that. Thank you.
Tommy better be working tomorrow because I have to come all the way down there. Binge driving. All right, finish.
Finish.
There's definitely a sense of oil for the finish, which I like.
Yes. Tommy's in.
It hits with the, like I said, to me, it comes back to a little bit of fruity at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco, leathery notes are there, which could also be black tea. I could be just misinterpreting that in my palate. I'd really like adding a splash of water to this. I think the finish loses it a little bit for me because it's so strong.
Yeah. Well, I think the finish kind of gives some of that char back. Like you get some of that char back that Ben was talking about. Not necessarily the marshmallow, but like you taste that second barrel. I like the finish on this too. I don't think it's a one. I mean, I'll just tell you, I think it's a 0.75 for me. It's above average. So I think that's pretty fair. But Brendan, thoughts on the finish?
I agree with both you guys. I think you explained it well. I'll go with 0.5 for me. It's just it's on the aggressive side. If I had to round up, like I think it's between 0.5, 0.75. But it's probably the least enjoyable part of this entire drink, which is obviously all well above average to great to elite.
Yeah. 0.5 for me. Yeah.
0.5 for Ben. Okay. Cohesiveness and complexity.
One. Ooh. It's the, like, how can you say this isn't complex? This is like outrageously complex.
It fits together well.
Bonus point for me, 1.25. It is so good. It's one of
the bony point.
It is one of the most complex whiskeys I've had the pleasure of owning. It's so good. A little bony for Brendan.
Yes, the old Brendan bony.
If Ben's going with a one here, I'll go with a one as well. That just doesn't happen very often. Hey, did you guys know this is the second Peerless in a row that we reviewed?
We did the
Tommy pick last week. So, okay. So that takes us going into value. Ben is at a 6.5 out of 8. That's strong. Brendan's at a 6.75.
How dark Sorry. This is, man.
5 out of 7. So we're pretty high going into this. Now, $150.
Yep.
You can only buy it at the distillery.
Only 150 bottles made of this.
You're not going to find another one of this on the streets, you know?
So I'll do value first.
Picturing Ben like in the 1990s, like New York, like chain seller, watch like guy with a bunch of like bootleg stuff. He's got because once up here, this pulls over his
stretch. I think you get what you pay for here. Yeah. I'm gonna go with a 1.25. I'm gonna go slightly above average value. I try to think about value with, do I regret buying this at all? And there's not one bit of me that regrets buying this. Would I buy it again for $150 tomorrow at Peerless or on the shelf? Probably. Bourbon's about the experience. Being able to say we got it from Peerless, 1.25. A little bit above average to me as far as the value goes. If I'd bought this on the store shelf, it might be a 0.75. But I didn't.
Right. So, and that's what I'm thinking. Like buying it there, I'm going one here because there's value in buying it at the distillery. Being one of 150 bottles, period. That's super cool. But like, we won't have this option again. You know, like this is done. So
the things that make it like a potential 2 on the value also make it a 0 too, like, or even lower. So they kind of
0.75. 0.75 for me. It's not the cheapest bottle by any means. That's because we've only got 150 bottles out of it. So we're going 0.75.
Synonym?
I think you guys have, I'm with you guys with the points, and like, I could make the argument it could be one extreme or another. I will split the difference between the two of you. I'll go one. That's what my gut was. I'm really happy that we got this bottle. I think it's an expensive bottle, but you get what you pay for, which yeah, one is an average five value of them.
On it. We bought five.
Yeah.
We have a lot of them.
And then TJ was just like, that was the only bourbon we had at the house too, at the Airbnb. Like,
might as well drink it.
And so that was the only one we were drinking for like an evening until we had to go get some
classics, some Old Forester 100.
Shout out Tommy Pour 2, Corona Pick. What's up?
Final scores there. Ben with a 7.25, Brendan with a 7.75, and I'm at an 8.25.
Math, it's a great, man, it's a great bottle.
Brendan is a 7, or I'm sorry, we're an aggregate 7.75. Really good stuff there. That was really good. Enjoy that.
Yep. That really was good. Great bottle. Indicative of the complexity and the cohesiveness of our trip. Quintessential, if you will.
Oh, Lord. Well, bless you guys. We are going to Travis our way out of here. And do you have anything else you guys want to talk about before we go?
Nope. Wrap.
I was trying to think of a name pun to get out of here, and I can't do it.
I'm going to quarterback our way out this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Without getting injured.
Same song, different verse. All right, we appreciate you guys for hanging out tonight. Thank you guys for always supporting. Follow us on social media. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube if you haven't.
Broke my leg.
Next week to talk about how Brendan got into his Mickers this weekend because Florida State beat Boston College. So shout out to the Noles. Shout out to Louisville. Shout out to the commenters. Cheers.